Welcome to New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, where we envision to build a biblical community of loving believers, which have a personal relationship with God and each other, modeling the pattern of lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Join us now as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive the Word of God from the man of God, Senior Pastor Reverend Nathaniel Wood.
My brothers and sisters, there was a great teacher coming on the scene who, when he spoke, people were amazed. His message was in touch with the common people of his day. The common people were telling others, you've got to come and hear this man speak. And check this out, even the folk that disliked him were saying, we've never heard anybody speak with the kind of authority this man has. The crowds were growing larger and larger as he went from city to city with the message of hope, the message of change, and the message of a new coming day. People were asking the question, where did this man come from? Where did he get all this knowledge? He looks just like one of us. Just a few years earlier, very few people even knew his name. But he came with a message that a change was soon to come. There would be no more business as usual. Those in power recognized there was a potential threat to the way they had kept people in check and ruled over people's lives. Even before this man could get started, well, if you will, on his campaign, there were attempts made to snuff out his life. But every attempt failed because he had a destiny to fulfill. Our scriptural text tells us that this man went back home to his town called Nazareth to officially, if you will, announce his candidacy and to state what would be his platform or agenda for his nation as well as the world. The Bible says that Jesus, y'all knew I was talking about Jesus, right? Went back to his hometown of Nazareth and went to the synagogue or the church as was his custom. The Bible says that it was Jesus's custom to go to the synagogue every week. Tell your neighbor, every week. Well, after arriving at the synagogue, Jesus was given the privilege to read from the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus turned to the book of the prophet Isaiah and stood up to read from it. The passage that Jesus selected to read was written at a time when God's people had been second-class citizens in Babylon, where they had been sent as captives after the nation of Israel had been destroyed in war. The Israelites knew. They knew what it was like to have been on the bottom and have been discriminated against. The Israelites were looking forward to a day in which God would reverse their bad times and put their lives back right on track. After 70 years of Babylonian captivity, now the Israelites returned to their own country. They now were under an oppression of a different kind. This time, the Romans were abusing them. Not only did the Babylonians abuse them, but now the Romans. So Jesus decided that the purposes of God would make up the essence of his political and social platform for his life. So he stands up in the synagogue, unrolls the scroll, and reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." Now, preachers, check this out. In announcing his candidacy, Jesus did not bring any delegates to the synagogue that day. But he came with the only vote that mattered. And that vote came from heaven alone. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be refreshing to hear somebody running for public office declare that the Spirit of the Lord, Lord have mercy, is on me. Listen to me good. Listen to me good. Can I take my time today? Listen, when we think of the Spirit of the Lord being upon someone, we often think of someone shouting, someone dancing, or someone preaching in a powerful manner. But no problems, I'm here to tell you that the Spirit coming upon you does more than make you shout, dance. Come on now. Listen, the Spirit comes upon us in order to bring us into a vertical relationship with God. And because we get in a vertical relationship with God, that relationship fosters or brings to pass horizontal relationships with each other. Oh, Lord. What are you saying, Pastor? Let me break it down. I'm saying that if we claim that that we have a spiritual relationship with God. If we claim that we are sure enough children of God, but if we fail to make a positive difference in the people's lives around us, guess what? We are just fooling ourselves. Oh. Listen to me good. Listen to me good. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because, check this out, He has anointed you to do something.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Lean
over and tell your neighbor, you are anointed for a purpose. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is on me and He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Y'all still got your Bibles open, right? Make sure Pastor stays in the book. Now, my brothers and sisters, the good news that we have to share is that Jesus died for our sins and that He can make a difference in your life. Good news, tell your neighbor, good news. And guess who Jesus said needed to hear this message of hope? He said, the poor. The weak. The downtrodden. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me and He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Come on, come on, come on. Let's be brutally honest with ourselves. We are more prejudiced against the poor than we want to admit. It is easy to close our eyes and pretend that the poor does not exist in our communities and even in our churches. And you know what I found out, Fred? It's easy for some of us to boast about how much the Lord has blessed us. But my brothers and sisters, let me quickly remind you that you can be up today and down tonight. Oh, okay, Pastor. I know you just read where Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord was on Him and anointed Him to proclaim good news to the poor. So, Pastor, how can I bring good news to the poor? Well, let me suggest to you that this coming Tuesday, when you cast your vote for candidates for public office, if you just would pause and ask yourself the question, is voting for this candidate going to bring any good news to the poor? Or will my vote help to continue to disenfranchise the poor and keep them in poverty? Will who I cast my vote for only promise to make my pockets larger or help the poor turn their lives around? Oh, Lord. Jesus said, okay, let me get back to the text. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, and he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. But Jesus continues reading and said that the Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Am I still in the book? Now, the word prisoner here literally means those who were captured at the point of a spear. And my brothers and sisters, we have people all around us who have been captured at the point of a spear. What could you talk about, Pastor Wood? There are some around us who have been captured because of the greed and abuse of others. Some have been captured by making poor choices for their own lives. Some have been captured because they believed the lies of the enemy. Y'all know the enemy's a liar. He told them, no one will ever find out what you have done. He told them this one time won't really matter. You can get away with it. Stop worrying about what people may think about you, because it's all about you and no one else. Lean over and tell your neighbor, the devil is a liar. Let me tell you this truth. Many of those, Fred, you can verify this, locked up in our modern day prisons, if given the opportunity to testify, they would tell us that they wish they had another chance to do things differently. And guess what? Sitting here in New Providence Baptist Church right now are some folk who, if they are willing to admit it, wish they would have made some better choices in their lives, which would have saved them from some of the prison experiences that they have had to face in life. Am I right about it? Well, Pastor Webb, I know you just read that Jesus said that he was anointed to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. How, Pastor? I'm glad you asked me. How can I help to proclaim this same truth? Let me suggest to you that you and I can help proclaim this truth by being open to giving people another chance. Oh, y'all missed that. Y'all missed that. I said, you and I can proclaim this truth by being open. Say, being open to giving people another chance. In other words, we got to stop just writing people off because they made one or more mistakes in life. Y'all looking at me hard. Listen, as your pastor, I want to challenge you to become a church of another chance. When people come through our doors, no matter what their backgrounds were, no matter what addictions they may be struggling with, no matter what heartbreaks they are facing, and no matter what pains they are bearing, when they walk through our church doors, that they can find a group of people willing to stand with them as they seek another chance with God. And for some of them, a second chance with society. This coming Tuesday, some of us will have the right. And let me tell you, I'm pleased that many of you voted early. But some of us this coming Tuesday will have the right to vote for candidates on the ballot. But before you cast your vote, ask yourself the question, is the person that I'm about to cast my vote for one who believes in giving people another chance? Or does this person just want to brand people felons for the rest of their lives? New Providence, we need persons in political office that will have the courage enough to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and provide them another chance to do better and not just lock them up and throw the key away. Some of us right now ought to be locked up. Come on now, let's snatch your halo off. If it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God, some of us shouldn't be sitting here today. I'm almost through. Jesus continued reading that the Spirit of the Lord was on him, but he says he was on him to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind. Now, there's no doubt that Jesus had in mind the physical healings that he was going to do. But Jesus also spoke, saying that there is a blindness that comes from people who think they are seeing correctly, but really they're blind as bats. How many people around you can you see that are making terrible decisions with their lifestyle and with their words, yet they are convinced that what they are doing is perfectly fine? Our own president, Donald Trump, is plagued with this disease. Everything that he does is the best thing that ever happened. Am I right about it? No matter what he says or does, it is perfect in his sight. Just a few weeks ago, it was all right for him to participate in a prayer breakfast. And immediately after the prayer breakfast, he publicly goes on national television and cusses folk out. I'm here to tell you, I'm not scared. But our president is blinded to the real truth on where our country, our economy, and where he is. And I hate to announce this, but he is making poor decisions that negatively affect our country. Yet he's convinced that what he is doing is perfectly fine and is going to work out well in the end. Tell your neighbor, it's bad to be blind. As believers in Christ, we must pray and vote that those who lead our country, that their eyes will be opened to truth. Not their truth, but the God's truth. And let me say right here that the Jesus I serve not only cares about the person blinded, but he also cares about the people who will be hurt because of another person's blindness. So as I go to my seat, Jesus reads that the Spirit of the Lord is on him. Why, Jesus? Why is the Spirit of the Lord on you? To set the oppressed free. The actual wording in the Greek is to set free those who are bruised. The word bruised refers to being broken in heart as well as being broken in spirit and body. How many of you have been bruised by life? How many of us have been bruised by people who didn't understand you? How many of us have been bruised by events that brought pain into our lives? Bruises. Somebody say bruises. Sometimes people can be so bruised that they put a limit on their own self. We think because we've been bruised by life that we will never get over life's bruises.
That's right.
But I got some good news to tell you today. And the good news is that Jesus said, I have been anointed to proclaim to you that if you are bruised, that you can be set free. I can go to my seat now, can I? Is there anyone here today that can testify that Christ is a healer? And that he has the power to bind up the bruises that life can bring into your life. Am I right about it? There are some of us here today who thought that we would never get over some of the bruises of our past. Bruises of poverty, bruises of abuse, bruises of divorce, bruises of drug addiction, bruises of low self-worth. But look at what God has done in our lives. He helped me to overcome life's bruises. Now I can say, as the hymnologist, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus, Lord have mercy, came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for which long I have sought. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy, oh my soul, like the sea billows roll. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Jesus came into my life. Thank God for the presence of the Spirit of the Lord in the life of the believer. Are you glad? Are you glad that God has invested his Spirit in you? If you're glad about it, on Tuesday when you go, cast your vote. Before you write your selections, you just need to remember why the Spirit of the Lord is on you. Come on now, come on now. He is on you to bring about positive change in the life of others.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's Word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.